on Wednesday evening, and he started off the small group by just reading a scripture, and I just want to read it with you guys tonight. We're going old school. I have no slides, so you're going to have to follow in your Bibles, but I'll give you the references as we go along. So if you could turn to John 15, and we're reading from verse 9 to 17. And it says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." And then, sort of the same sort of message from 1 John 3:16. I think a lot of us know this. And it says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So, ultimately, Jesus calls us his friends. And he also laid down his life for us, because he was our friend. And he calls us to love one another just as he has loved us, to the point of death. Which is quite hectic, if you think about it. And I think most of you will agree with me that Jesus was a loyal friend, that he really had our backs, and no matter what, he was going to that cross for us. And he chose to lay down his life so that we may live and have life and be reconciled to the Father. And I think, just from a personal perspective, true friendship is this, is to love your friend to the point where you actually lay down your life for them. I've experienced friendships that reflect this concept, where I know that whatever I need, whenever I need it, and whatever time it is, that I have that friend that will come and that will drop everything and really help me out in my time of need, and they'll be there without question. And I don't know about you guys, but I really desire to be that type of friend, and I try to be that type of friend. However, I think this type of friendship also is based on trust. And I think trust is actually earned by one's actions as well. And if you read in Philippians 2:4, I'll back myself up on that statement. It says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." And I know that within these types of friendships that I'm talking about, I can trust a person to look out for my own interests always, that they will never exploit me or expose me if I'm vulnerable, sort of whatever sort of manner, you know, financially. If they'll never make me look like a fool in front of a group of people, they've always got my back. I never have to check that they've got my back. And yeah, and I think these types of friendships also require an element of selflessness, where you actually deem the things that you are busy with sort of not as important as another person's need. That you, even though you know, it's difficult for us to do that, because often the things that are right in front of us we think are really, really important. If somebody else has something that they really need our help with, sometimes it's not really, we don't think it's as important, but it actually is. And it's a difficult decision, but Jesus ultimately made it for us all. Because if you read in Luke 22, verse 41 to 42, this is when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane before they took him away to be crucified. And it says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw away. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So he was selfless. He really was saying to the Father, I don't, you know, I'm not necessarily keen to be crucified, but I want your will to be done, not mine. And I think, if I think about friendship in the church, in the early church, I think it's one of the most beautiful pictures. In Acts chapter 4, verse 34 to 35, it says, nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of these things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. Now, if I asked you tonight, would you sell your house, your car, your iPad, your computer, your DHD hair straightener for your friend in need? Would you do it? And again, it reflects a sacrificial relationship, a sacrificial friendship between believers, in that worldly possessions are not as important as another person's need. They really aren't. And not more important than the well-being of your brother or your sister. And again, it's a difficult concept to understand because, you know, I mean, we work hard. And I know each and every single one of you works very hard for the things that you have, for the things that you buy, for the money that you get every month with your paycheck. But ultimately, it's not yours. It's God's. And so, yeah, I think it's also not that difficult to understand this sort of sacrificial relationship. If you think about friendship as in an eternal perspective, these things we have today, they'll be eaten by moths. They won't be with us when we leave this earth, when we go to heaven. And I really believe that the investment that we have in people is what God refers to as storing our treasures in heaven. And finally, a true friend is one who actually calls us on our nonsense, calls us on our rubbish, and says, you know, I want you to walk rightly because, you know, you're my brother and I'll look out for you. But that also means that I'm not going to let you do things that aren't right. And I wouldn't want my friends to tell me, you know, if something's not right in my life, and to advise me on important decisions, to make sure that my race is run in an honorable manner. In James chapter 5, verse 19 to 20, it says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Now, I've talked about friendship, sort of the positives, but now, unfortunately, and I'm pretty sure if I speak to anyone in this room, you have been hurt or let down or disappointed, and I don't know to what extent because I don't know all of your stories, but you have been disappointed or hurt in some way or another along the journey of your life. Now, I have a story as well, you know, but that's not important tonight. But I always used to hold a grudge against people that did me wrong. You know, I really felt this before I knew God. I really felt they owed me something. You know, they owed me this massive apology because they've done me so wrong. And then I harbored this hatred and this real, like, you know, just my heart was hard. And I didn't want to know their troubles. I didn't really care what happened to them. And after I came to God, I realized that He's all about the reconciliation of relationships. That's what God's really, He loves it. And I realized I needed to let go of those past hurts and speak forgiveness over those specific people and rid myself of that hatred that really actually was hindering me from having true relationships and true friendships. Because I went into friendships kind of just anticipating that that would happen again because it wasn't right in my heart. And I can honestly say to you guys tonight that these friendships and the relationships that actually I've been hurt in prior to getting saved and even now are on a road that are being reconciled. And I really believe and I'm trusting God that they will come to the true fruition in my lifetime, that I will actually be able to speak to those guys and those whoever that hurt me, you know, and reconcile those relationships. And they will be even fuller, even more full than what they were prior to that. So, yeah, just to end off, it's ultimately your choice what type of friend you are and what type of friends you have. But I really believe that God is calling us, and I'm referring to the events of the past couple of months. God is calling us to sacrificial, selfless, and accountable friendships that add value to one another's lives and that really aid us and help us on our journey to becoming more like Christ. And I just wanted to end off with a proverb. It's a beautiful piece of scripture, and then I'm going to keep quiet. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Amen.
Going to start the same way as Murray. I don't know if I can say that I'm not a pastor, but I'm not a preacher, and I'm a photographer. I like to be behind something, not in front. Firstly, sorry, my voice is I've been a bit sick. I actually hoped that my voice would go away completely, but obviously the Lord wants to tell you something. Firstly, I want to say that I'm really humbled to talk about friendship. This is an area in my life where I many times make mistakes, and I many times fail, but I love friends. I love spending time with people. I love praying with people, and I love having a life story together. So before I knew the Lord, I didn't know what friendship should actually look like. Friendships were always a means to the end for me. Like in school, in the schoolroom, a friendship would mean I can get some academic input from somebody else to push my marks higher. And as soon as we went outdoors, I was using friendships to push up my social status. So for me, friendships were born out of a selfish spirit. And that only caused tension and a lot of room for rejection. Now I'm very grateful to know that I can have friendships without striving. I can have a friendship where I do not try to be higher than my friend, or where I'm always scared that my friend might climb on top of me to be better or more successful. There's a scripture in Philippians 2, verse 3. Murray actually read verse 4, but I'm going to go back to 3. Do nothing from rivalry or deceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. That to me is a very, very important one. As soon as I feel that a friend tries to compete with me, I would either back away because of the tension or I'll back away. There's actually a little testimony that I want to tell. When I started coming here, there was this one girl. She's still here. I was always trying to size myself up to her, always trying to compete, compare, and whatever. And of course, the Lord told me to start praying for her. And almost immediately as I did, all the jealousy went out the door. And suddenly, I started falling in love with this friend. And it's obvious that the devil tries to come and steal away from what God wants to do with our family if we always compete. And for girls, it's very easy to become jealous and cliquey and try and not embrace, but rather measure up to someone else. So instead of when we do that, we almost compete for Christ's throne in the friendship. I think if we can realize that Christ is on the throne, then immediately the striving is cancelled out. Immediately we know that I'm not going to try and be above you, because we're together. Christ is above, and we serve Christ together. Immediately there's room to love one another, to give of yourself, to give affirmation, to give acceptance. Also to include people and to build a relationship with people who you normally wouldn't have. And, of course, then you shine a light to the world, because the world can't get that one right at all. So there's a scripture in Galatians 6 verse 2 that says, bear one another's burdens. And only if we get that striving thing out of the door, we can actually bear with one another. We can support one another. There's this little story that I wanted to read you, but I forgot it at home. So I'm going to try and paint the picture. It's Charlie Brown pitching. I think he's playing cricket. Pitching is cricket, isn't it? Baseball. He's standing in the middle of the field pitching and making a fool of himself. And Lucy is mocking him. And as soon as later on, he got fed up with the mocking and the humiliation. He didn't know what to do. And he went and stood on his head. And that only encouraged Lucy's mocking. And then Snoopy came running around. And he didn't go and just bluff away with Lucy. He went to go and stand on his head next to Charlie Brown. And that is such a beautiful picture of bearing one another's burdens. I also read a bit about what the word bearing means. It's like a tomato plant that's ranking up a stick. It's to stake with one another. So you say, actually, okay, my friend, you are weak. Come to me. I'm strong at this moment. And as long as I'm strong, you will keep on standing. As long as I stand, you'll stand. And also Christ takes it always a bit further. He doesn't just bear our burdens. He bears them away. That word means that he carries our burdens away. And that's what he did on the cross. It's such a cool inspiration of how we can really, truly bear through a burden with someone else. And I know that my really good friendships are those who I've had to go through a season, and that friend had to stick out throughout the season with me, crying and praying. And it becomes a bit irritating, I think, sometimes for the other person. But to stick that thing through is being Christ-like in your friendship. Bearing that burden away. So I've talked a lot about all the intense burdens and stuff. But for me, to be in a good friendship is also to have a friend.